This is the log of Magnus Carter, scientific observer on board the spaceship Luna 9. Our mission began with a routine trip to the moon. But only 2 days out from Earth, we experienced indications of some of the dangers associated with our quest. First, the radio ceased to work. Then, communications officer, Jupiter Barnett, suffered 2 violent electrical shocks, rendering him unconscious. On both occasions, he heard, or thought he heard, loud, mind-penetrating, paralyzing sounds, amongst which was a woman's voice calling Epsilon Solar and reciting a list of scientific formula and fact. I recognize this as part of an experimental radio message transmitted into deep space roughly 30 years ago in the direction of the star Alpha in the constellation Centaurus. I suggested to ship's captain Saxon Berry that what Chipper heard might be a response to that message.
Now wait a minute, Magnus. Are you suggesting that intelligent beings more than 15 light years away from Earth are trying to contact us?
I think they've done it.
But that voice, so loud, it could have been coming from the moon.
Exactly.
You mean they are on the moon?
Maybe not on the moon, but close, very close. I believe, gentlemen, that we are on the brink of a space-age breakthrough.
What?
Personal contact with extraterrestrial beings.
An interstellar encounter starring Barry Foster, Nigel Stock, Nicky Henson, and Tony Asoba. Episode 2, Towards the Unknown.
What makes you so sure, Magnus?
D-Set B has suspected it for some time.
Who?
D-Set B, Department for the Search of Extraterrestrial Beings.
Never heard of them.
Good. They have to keep their work secret. Otherwise, their discoveries might cause panic on a massive scale.
Then why are you telling us?
Because you are now part of the organization, Lodrick. Its very spearhead.
Who
do you think has planned Space Force and prepared its program of operation and your training?
You are part of this D-Set B.
Yes.
And that's why you're on this trip.
My brief is to investigate those radio signals, find out who or what is sending them.
But where are they coming from?
Somewhere in the region of Jupiter, we think.
Jupiter? Oh, that's less than a light hour away. How are we supposed to carry out this investigation?
We go there.
You can't be serious.
There's no other way.
What about space probes and manned ships?
4 have already been sent to monitor the signals and pinpoint the place they're radiating from.
So?
Everyone has been lost.
What?
As soon as they get within monitoring distance of Jupiter, they drop dead. All electronic gear fails. They just keep sailing round Jupiter like a space fleet of Marie Celestes.
I see. Well, how soon are we expected to leave?
In a month or so.
Is that all?
Enough time to get you used to the new ship and to handling the new equipment.
Why do we start training?
As soon as we touch down on the moon.
That's just a few hours.
Oh, can I talk to Lunar Control? I want to be sure somebody will meet us.
Yeah, Lunar Conveyance meets every ship, carries all personnel to base.
Not this crew. We don't go to base.
Oh?
We go straight to the Space Force takeoff pad.
I didn't know there was one.
Yes. And a temporary training section and living quarters have been built nearby.
They've thought of everything.
I hope so. If they haven't, then heaven help us. A few hours later, the ship was turned over and we landed. A personnel conveyor met us at the touchdown pad, and then, after we climbed aboard, began to whine and bump its way across the surface of the Mare Serenitatis.
The what?
Mare Serenitatis.
What does that mean?
The Sea of Serenity. The Calm Sea.
Must be kidding.
The name was given by the old astronomers. They thought the dark areas of the moon were seas, and that's what they called them. Only they used Latin.
Well, if it's the Calm Sea, why are we bumping about so much?
Once it was a sea of hot liquid. When it cooled down, it solidified into this undulating bed of lava.
It's also strewn with rocks and boulders.
Oh, you're telling me.
And fitted with little craters.
There she is.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Straight ahead. Just showing over the horizon.
Oh, yeah.
That's the ship. The Space Force.
The training period was short but intensive. First, we learned to adapt to low gravity and total weightlessness. Then we learned to use the magnetic hand grips and overshoes. These would enable us to walk on the inside or outside surfaces of the ship like human flies. We were also instructed to use electric rotary tools, so that it was the tools that spun and not ourselves. And finally, we familiarized ourselves with the portable life support units which we carried on our backs. At last came the time, near the end of the course and the long lunar day, equal to 14 days on Earth, when we were to put our training to a practical test.
This is where we get out?
That's right. You now find your own way back on foot. You can see the mountains over to the northwest, but don't try to go over them. Go round.
Right.
Desperate looking place.
Your position and all you say will be monitored by control. In the case of extreme emergency, they will send me out to find you.
I'm sure there'll be no need of that.
Then I'll get back. Good luck.
Thanks.
Don't fall into any craters.
All right. We'll start. Chipper and Loderick, you go down into the crater and up the other side, right? We'll go around the rim. Now, keep inside of us and don't walk into any shadows. The sudden change from a high to very low temperature may upset the thermostatic system in your pressure suit. Is that clear?
Yes.
Good. Don't hurry and keep in touch.
See you on the other side, then. Come on, Chipper. Remember what they told us.
Yeah.
Short steps and bending forward.
Yeah, it's not so easy going downhill.
Come on, Magnus. They don't have so far to go as us.
But at least our walk is on the level.
Yeah. How wide did they say this crater is?
About 6 miles.
Yeah. Oh, Chipper and Loderick must have reached the middle by now. Hello, Loderick.
Receiving you.
Yeah, we can hear you, but we can't see you anymore.
It's not surprising, was it?
What is it?
I've fallen over.
What?
Well, I'm all right.
Don't move. Don't move. Stay where you are. Chipper will help you up. Chipper? Chipper? Why doesn't he answer? Loderick?
Yes.
Can you see him?
Can't see anything except the sky. I'm flat on my back.
Chipper. Chipper.
I better try to get up without him.
No, no, wait. You might puncture your suit.
I'm helpless like this.
We'll come down. Loderick, it's Saxon.
Thank goodness you're here. Give me a hand up.
Right.
Come on.
Easy now.
There. Now, where was it you last saw Chipper?
Behind that rock. He jumped over it.
He what? Has he gone crazy?
And where has he got to?
Oh, perhaps he's fallen into a small crater. I'll give him one more call.
And if there's no response?
Well, then we'll have to ask control for a full-scale emergency operation. Hello, Chipper. This is Saxon. Can you hear me?
We'll have to call.
Hello, Chipper. Saxon calling Chipper.
There you are. At last.
What do you mean, at last?
Calling and
calling and
no ready
reply.
Hey, son of Roderick, I think I lost him.
I'm here.
Where are you?
I'm about halfway up the southern slope of the crater.
Southern?
Yes, there he is. On the high terrace. You can see the glint of his visor.
Chipper, what happened to you?
I don't rightly know. He's at least a mile away. Maybe more.
How could he have covered all that distance?
At last. Quite a climb up this ridge, Chipper.
Is it?
What the hell were you playing at?
Nothing.
You know it's against orders to jump over rocks and arse about like a kid on a trampoline.
I don't know what came over me.
Why didn't you answer my calls?
I tried to. You didn't seem to hear. When that music came on, I couldn't hear anything. It was deafening right inside me.
Music?
Yes.
And a voice?
Yes. I thought perhaps I could get out of the range of it if I climbed up to the rim, but the thing is, I don't remember climbing up. One minute I was in the depths of the crater with that music in my head, climbing me crackers. Next I'm up here on the terrace, all quiet, peaceful, and you're calling me.
You were aware of nothing in between?
No. You
don't think I made it up, do you?
Well, I might have done. If you hadn't apparently climbed up here so quickly. How you managed that, I shall never figure out.
Wish I knew. All I do know is that space music has something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is you're okay. Come on. We'd better get you back to base.
What had happened to Chipper? Strange things can happen to spacemen, especially after long periods of low or zero gravity conditions. Stomach upsets, headaches, and even hallucinations. Yet an examination by the training center's psychologist found him quite normal. And the incident was put behind us when less than 36 hours later, the time arrived for us to take the first step of our momentous journey to the giant planet, Jupiter.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
She goes, falling away.
40,400 miles, 65,000 kilometers per hour. Crew may unfasten safety belts.
Yes, we know that.
Just pay attention, Chipper.
This is better. Good, smooth takeoff.
Yes, so I should think, ship like this.
Quite. Comfortable cabin, too.
It needs to be. And this little compartment's our home for the next 3 years.
Little? It's the biggest one I've ever flown in.
It won't seem so roomy 6 months from now. You've never been on a really long flight, Chipper. It can get pretty grim.
+53 Earth days and 12 hours, universal time. Ship to Earth distance 48 million miles. Ship to target 449 million. Estimated time distance to Jupiter 1 year and 115 days. Space Force is about to cross the orbit of Mars.
Hear that? We're crossing the Martian line.
This calls for a celebration.
Does that mean we'll get a close look at it?
What, the Martian orbit?
No, the planet Mars.
Afraid not, Chipper.
Oh.
Right now, Mars is situated on the other side of the sun. It's nearer to the Earth than we are.
How are we going to celebrate?
With a proper meal. Fried chicken, strawberries and cream, and a bottle of wine.
What?
Great. Make a change from concentrated cubes.
Absolutely. And as fresh as most people could get on Earth.
Well, bring it out. Let's celebrate.
I'll get it. My turn in the gamut.
How much of this fresh frozen food have we got?
Not much. It's too heavy. Enough for a couple of meals.
Oh.
180 million miles.
Those messages get longer every time.
Useful, though.
So there's a radio time lag between us and Earth. My last call took 40 minutes to get there and back.
You're going to sight longer.
This all worries me.
Yeah.
Somehow it makes you feel, cut off from everything. Like you're living in your own tiny world with nothing outside to make contact with.
There's plenty to see outside. Stars by the billion, galaxies by the million, comets, planets. What do you mean there's nothing to see out there?
Just a feeling, that's
all. Right, Roderick, Chipper, finish up any work you have that involves the use of any extension, boom or antenna. Except radio, solar energizers and televiewer.
Hey?
Well, didn't you hear? We're about to enter the asteroid belt. Now, when you've finished up your work, we'll close off all pressurized units of the ship and make ready for asteroid emergency.
Right.
Oh, and from now on, pressure suits will be worn at all times.
Oh, no. What, helmets as well?
No, but keep them close by.
Why all the emergency preparation?
Just in case. If we were hit, even by a small rocket, could knock quite a hole in us. The air would escape.
Oh, I thought entering the asteroid belt was a time for celebration, like crossing the Martian orbit.
Not on this ship.
No decent meal, then?
No. But once we finish the preparations, we can at least get some rest.
All instruments have been retracted, Saxon.
Good. You can get some sleep then, Lotterick.
Thanks.
How's Chipper, Magnus?
Dead to the world. Mm-hmm. Will be for the next couple of hours. I put a sedative in his drink.
Sedative? Why?
I'm worried about his health. I think he's developing signs of solipsism syndrome.
What's that?
He thinks that anything outside his own experience cannot exist. It's not uncommon for people shut up for long periods in confined spaces.
But he's been flying between Earth and Moon in confined cabins for years.
But never for months at a time. We can expect to be cooped up for 3 years. And we've spent little more than 3 months so far.
Yes, I see what you mean. What made you suspect something was wrong?
The way he's affected by the long waits between radio calls. Having to wait 40 minutes or more for a reply has a frustrating effect on him.
Yes, I've noticed.
It could get worse.
How?
Apathy. Diminished power of judgment and then a don't-give-a-damn attitude. Except for things that affect him directly. Personal things like the quality of food. He's also liable to get quite aggressive. Hallucinate, even.
Like on the moon, when he said a voice drove him up the slope of the crater?
Possibly. He's already complained about the radio time factor.
What? That asteroid, we've been hit. Come on, get your helmets on.
What about Chipper?
Where's his helmet?
I don't know.
What? He could die if we don't get
it. Behind the video screen.
I'll get it.
No, I'll look after him. You get to your station and turn that alarm off. Everybody all right?
I'm fine. And me.
I've put Chipper's helmet on. Any sign of damage?
No.
How's the air pressure?
Normal. We don't seem to have lost any.
Does that mean we haven't been holed?
Yes. We've been lucky. It must have been a very small asteroid, hardly more than a particle. Well, let's hope we don't meet a larger one.
We remained lucky. It took us an anxious, worrying 5 months to pass through the asteroid belt, but we finally emerged unscathed. Much to Chipper's delight, we celebrated with another fresh food dinner, our second in a year. Then, on the 500th day...
Chipper?
Yeah?
Come and look at this.
What is it?
There, on the screen.
Blimey.
Isn't that beautiful?
Well, suppose it is, in its way.
Something I've dreamed of all my life.
What?
To see Jupiter in close-up. It looks like a glowing jewel resting in black velvet. Look at all those colours. Russet, purple, brown, and the glorious red spot.
Well, almost there. Looks like a giant stomach ulcer.
Chipper, you've got no soul.
Why's it got that golden rim round it?
Yeah, that's the Jovian atmosphere flowing past it. Like a strong water current past the rock.
Is that what it is?
No, Jupiter consists almost totally of gas.
And what causes that thing?
The great red spot.
Yeah.
It's a storm. An everlasting hurricane in the Jovian atmosphere. 30,000 miles long and 7,000 miles wide.
Mm.
You could drop 2.5 Earths in there and lose them.
No place for holiday.
You're right.
And here we are, heading straight for it.
We shall go round it.
Attention, unidentified object ahead, bearing 0.1 degrees, distance 300 miles.
300 miles? Sorry, Roderick, I'll have to have the teleview.
Help yourself.
0.1 degrees, the computer say?
Yes. Yes, it's there. 285 miles ahead. Whatever it is, we're gaining on it slowly.
Yes, we should be level with it in an hour or so. Keep watch, Magnus. Give me a call when you get a clear view of it.
Saxon, we're almost up with it.
It's a ship, no doubt about it.
It doesn't seem to be carrying any antennae or booms or anything.
You'd think they'd have noticed us by now.
Perhaps they're lying low.
Hey, look at the way she's tumbling over. I'd say she was out of control. Hey, look at that.
What?
Well, the next time she turns over, look at where the entrance should be. There, see?
Good heavens, yes. It is the entrance.
But it's open.
Well, that must mean that nobody's there. They've all left.
If they haven't, they're all dead.
But who? The ship looks as though it was made on Earth.
Maybe some tin pot country operating an expedition on the quiet.
It doesn't appear to have been very successful.
We'll go over there. You and I.
Very well. Lodrick, bring us 2 personal mobility units.
Yes, Magnus.
Chipper, prepare the lock to let us out.
Right.
and then go back to your watch.
Sure.
Make sure all we say and do is recorded.
Roger.
Nearly there. I just drift in.
Right.
No, not too fast. That's it. Well, this is the only way in. Follow me, Magnus.
That's odd. No inner lock.
Yeah.
Well, how could anyone enter and leave with only one door? They'd lose all their air.
Yeah. I think we can walk from here on. Oh, such a small cabin. Not even one astronaut could survive in here. And how do you fly this thing? There's no machinery, electronic or mechanical.
Not now, there's not.
Huh?
No. Look at the walls. There was equipment, but it's all been ripped out.
Yeah. That explains why there are no antennae outside. They've been ripped off, too.
Look at this design. This is an Earth main ship.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it must be one of the four unmanned probes.
And somebody has boarded her and ripped out all her equipment.
Out of all our probes. Which is why we've heard nothing from them.
Can we identify this ship precisely? Let Earth know we found her?
Only by the number on her side.
Okay. Let's get back. Send a full report to control.
Who could have done it? And why?
Yeah.
And what would they have done if they'd found people in here?
We returned to the ship. Saxon made his report on the wreck, and Chipper transmitted it to Earth. The Space Force was boosted back to its old speed, and we continued our journey towards the giant planet. We saw no more wrecks. Then, some 500 million miles and 1 year, 6 months and 5 days after leaving Earth, we came close enough to Jupiter to go into orbit.
Day 550, 0559 hours. Orbital maneuver will begin in 30 seconds.
Final check, Magnus.
All systems functioning.
Roderick, motors okay?
All set.
Shipper, televiewer?
Okay.
Radio?
Okay.
Thrusters will fire for up to 3 minutes. We'll change speed and course and then go into orbit round the planet.
Orbital maneuver, thruster motors will fire in 15 seconds.
Hey, wait a minute.
What's wrong?
Somebody's calling us. Over the radio.
Put the radio on intercom.
It's on. Hear it?
No.
But it's so loud and clear. Oh, there's that music again. Like when we're going to the moon. Stop. Wait. Let me out.
If I don't get up, the motors are fired.
Let me out. Oh, no! It's right inside my head! It's burning! It's burning! Chipper, keep calm! Oh, no! No!
Chipper!
Speed 46,000.
What happened?
The radio heated up and exploded.
I heard that music again and that woman's voice. You heard her, didn't you? I fed the radio into the intercom so you could all hear.
No, Chipper, we heard lots of odd sounds, but no voice.
It's just clear as anything.
Day 550
times 0559
hours and
3. 3 what? What else?
It stopped.
The computer stopped working.
Something has put all the radio circuits out of action.
It's Jupiter's radionosphere. We're too close.
Control said it would have little effect.
Well, they were wrong, weren't they?
What if it upsets the other circuits? The motor monitors, the power supply. I spoke too soon.
Where's the emergency lighting control?
It should come on automatically. Yeah, there it is. How about the televiewer?
Now, that's failed. Everything's gone haywire.
We can't navigate the ship blind. We must be able to see out.
Well, use the observation dome. Open the lock, Roderick.
Right.
Now what?
Emergency power's failed.
Why's it gone all dark? What's going on?
Well, that's everything except the gyros. Go to your takeoff positions. Get your flashlight.
I've got mine, but it doesn't work.
Nor mine.
Well, that's it, then. The television circuits don't function, so we can't see. The radio doesn't work. The computers cease to function. There are no lights. The air replenisher has stopped.
The ship has dropped dead.
Like that wreck we saw 5 days ago.
The air supply's running down fast. I'm afraid we only have a few days left.
In that episode of Space Force, Magnus was played by Nigel Stock, Saxon by Barry Foster, Chipper by Nicky Henson, and Lorderick by Tonia Soba, with Teresa Stretfield. Space Force was written by Charles Chilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer. There's more.